Now you can get it yourself.
Aren't you worried? I'm just gonna...
I'm not worried.
Welcome to Fear Me.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Stuart.
And Scott.
Welcome to another episode of the Fear Me podcast. This is episode 108.
Nice. How about that? Yeah.
How are you doing, Scott?
I'm lovely. How are you, Kim?
Fantastic. Ready to talk about the craziness from this episode.
Yes. Big doings.
Crazy ending, that's for sure.
Yeah, and based on the amount of feedback we're getting from our listeners, it looks like everybody else was pretty uptight. And
holy cow.
Yeah.
Twitter blew up after that happened.
Before we get into all that, what are you drinking, Scott?
I am drinking a beer from Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay,
yes.
We're drinking something from Savannah, so go ahead.
Ah, nice. This is from Holy City Brewing in Charleston. It's called the Overly Friendly IPA.
I like that.
Evidently, they're very open, overly friendly down there, and they want everybody to know about it. So they put out this nice little IPA. It's really good. It's very nice, smooth IPA. It's bitter, but non-pleasing way. I think it's a good representation of a nice crisp IPA.
You said it was Holy City Brewery?
Holy City Brewery. Yeah, down
my friend's
Charleston.
Son owns that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. Yep. Nice connection.
Well, we just gave him a plug.
I'll have to tell them.
Definitely. How about you,
Kimmy?
I always
like their beers.
Kimmy, what are you drinking?
So we're drinking something out of Savannah, Georgia, just down the coast from Charleston. It is called Desert Dawn, which is apropos for what we're watching. It is from Southbound Brewing Company, and it is a Belgian-style saison brewed with elderberries.
Yeah.
It is a tart wildberry, dark fruit, and spice, and I have to say, I really like it.
Really?
Yeah, it's not too sweet. It's not
and
too
it's
sweet
not too tart.
With fruitiness.
I'm not real big on the Belgian saisons, but...
I'm not either.
Yeah. But that's a good one. And you say this is out of Savannah?
Yeah.
Why did they call it the desert?
I have no idea.
Desert Dawn? I guess it has something to do with the elderberry, maybe?
Oh.
I don't know.
Seeing is believing when it comes to this bright and juicy brew. Desert Dawn is loaded with tart wild berry, dark fruit flavors, and spice that are just as vibrant as the color of the beer itself. That doesn't answer your question.
No, it doesn't. But they do name the hops that are in this, which I've never seen that on a beer before, and it says the Magnum.
Magnum hops, nice.
You know,
going to be a big night tonight with the Magnum hops.
Yeah, they're right.
One of our listeners came down on us because we don't ask our listeners what they drink.
Oh, that's a good point.
So I suggested to him that maybe we start a new segment where people could call in. You can record your voice on the recording device part of your phone and email it to us, and then we can play them on the podcast.
We could
do that. This was Mark LaVarnway, who also did our music for us.
Okay.
So I just want to read to you what he said about his beer.
Well, I thought Mark didn't drink beer. And then what he said before?
I thought he was a whiskey drinker,
he's
drinking
right,
beer
Mark.
This time.
All right, Mark.
Hey, you guys, you never ask your listeners what we're drinking, so here goes. I'm in the beautiful state of Arkansas this week. He's normally in Texas. And I'm drinking a lovely beverage called the Red-Headed Double-Breasted Bed Thrasher. That's a mouthful. Brewed by Uncle Daddy Brewery in Hot Springs. Pungent,
nice.
Yet putrid. What? The tagline on the can says it's so good you'll use any excuse to sneak away for a sip, such as, quote, "Get off me, Daddy, you're crushing my cigarettes." Oh, that's horrible. Horrible, Mark. Horrible.
That is awesome.
All right. Well, thanks for the input, Mark.
That's the first of our listener feedback for our beer. So
I am.
If you want to tell us what you're drinking, I can tell you what.
Mark set the bar pretty high on that one. Good luck, folks. Lord.
Wow.
You're smashing my cigarettes. That's just so Jared from Subway. Anyway.
We've been talking about Jared a lot lately. It makes me nervous.
Ooh, that's not good.
I have not.
We are going to be talking about Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4, Episode 3, Good Out Here.
Stu, why don't you take us out? What did you think of the episode?
Well, that was unexpected. I actually enjoyed finally seeing the scene with Morgan and Nick where he trips him up when Nick tries to go for the knife. I thought that was like, I mean, obviously they played it over and over and over again. You saw it set up when they're down by the big truck, and it was cool to finally see it happen. But
and also in the previews, they also had silly music with it, which made it kind of even funnier.
Yeah, right? But wow, what an ending! Holy cow!
Yeah.
I mean, we got a lot to dissect on that one. So that would be probably my most of my focus goes towards the end of that episode right there.
Gotcha. Yeah. Kimmy, what'd you think?
It's a bit of a shocker.
How were you when you stopped crying?
Oh, I did not cry at all. That's what I was getting ready to say, is I'm still not really vested in these characters, except Morgan. So it didn't really bother me that much that he died, but it's still a shocker, and I don't know how they're gonna proceed from here, since he's like one of the main characters and pretty much the draw to the show for the first two seasons. I mean, let's be honest, he and Strand are probably the only reasons why we stayed with it. Thank God they have changed the writing process around, so it's all, you know, it's all good. It can hold its own now, but I am curious about that. I also think it's interesting that both The Walking Dead and Fear now have used flowers as a way to bring us into a death scene.
Mm-hmm.
We also had both of our lead characters lose their sons in the past seasons.
That's true.
So lots of parallels. And that Charlie bitch, good God. Somebody needs to take her out.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care if she is 10.
Yeah, that was a killer. Chase her down completely.
Yeah, she is a killer.
Yeah, little killer.
What'd you think?
I thought it was, I'm much more invested in the Nick character than you are, evidently. I thought it was a very bittersweet episode. I mean, I thought it was absolutely fantastic to finally get Morgan and Nick together.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed the hell out of those scenes. I thought it was great. And I really, really, really wanted to see more of that going forward. And unfortunately, we've seen the end of Nick and Morgan.
Yeah, so. That part is definitely disappointing.
Yeah.
To see that he's gone. I think
I wanted to see the both of them working through their problems together.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big loss.
Yeah, I think that's a huge hole in the story. But you know, we said that we could watch a show that was just John and Al and Morgan in that truck. Well, we may end up doing that. It's getting close to it. I think we also probably feel that Madison's gone too.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that.
I wonder about that because of how they set it up almost that Maddie was gone, mm-hmm. and then Nick gets killed, and I'm just wondering if that whole setup of her being gone was actually just setup of him going away.
No, I think she's gone. I mean, I think the melancholy way he dealt with the flowers when he was seeing them, and the absolute fury he dealt with dealing with Ennis, of the vultures, tells me, and the way he kept always reflecting back to moments with his mom,
and the way his sister lost it when he died too.
Yeah, I don't think it spells good things for Madison at all.
No, it does. It really does. I mean, they definitely set it up for the fact that she is gone. I agree with you, but what if she's not?
Yeah, but see, that's what I was going to say, Stu, because that's the other thing, too, for me, is Nick is separated from them before, and I've never seen Nick acting the way he's acting about being separated from Madison this time. So this isn't just a separation from her. This is like a no going back type deal with the way he was dealing with Madison's memories.
But let's also remember that he is still going through that PTSD probably from the
Don't you think
whole,
this is a long
damping?
Way? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, to an extent.
So it could be a part of that. But that also means Naomi's no longer in the picture either. But it could be that Naomi and Madison are holed up somewhere. Maybe one of them is injured and they're out searching for food or whatever.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, they could be holding them as ransom. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why.
But he would have.
He was so pissed off about it.
For his mom, I don't know.
That's the weird thing is that you do not hear anybody mention her.
No.
In that point.
No, I mean, it leads me to think that they all know she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
That they were all there. And that's why Strand is so shook up about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Strand's not himself right now either.
That's true. But the good thing is that, well, this is what I'm wondering. Like, this is happening in the now. We still have Nick in the past.
Right.
So are we still going to see more episodes with Nick in them?
Oh, I think we probably will through most of the season. Sense. I think we will probably most of the season we'll see more of Nick.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a finite performance. And we've definitely seen the last of Nick and Morgan together.
Mm-hmm. I think that if they can pull that off where they show a lot of him in the past, it'll make his death that more bittersweet, you know, once we get through that storyline and figure out how we got to this point where he died and find out more about the vultures and the whereabouts of Madison. That might make it more sad.
Yeah.
Right now I'm like, eh. Sucks, but
okay.
Oh well.
Yeah, I'm actually, now that we're talking about it a little bit more, I had thought that, okay, Maddie was gone. And then when Nick died, I was like, oh, well, they can't take both of them away. Do you think they would actually take both of them away in this episode?
No one is safe.
I don't think that they actually, I think the thing with Frank Delane wanting to leave the show, what caught them off guard a little bit. I think the plan, yeah. I do think that they probably were planning on having Madison go. But then when Frank makes his out of the blue decision that he wants to be off the show because they're changing the showrunners and all that kind of stuff, that I think they weren't expecting that. So they had to find a way to write him out.
But if she goes, they're going to have to tell us the backstory on that.
Oh, well, they will. I think that's what that's what this season's going to be about. What happened to Madison?
Okay.
I think that's going to be the crux of the season. It's going to have to do with the vultures.
Dropping breadcrumbs on whether she's gone or not and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll keep, you know, peppering us with that background story about the vultures and so forth and what goes on there. Evidently, that went very bad.
Evidently.
Yeah, because, I thought it was interesting because, you know, when they ran into Al and the group there, they were talking about wanting to know where the flag came from. But it's not just that. They want to track the vultures down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
Which I was wondering, why do they want to track them down?
Because they want to kill them.
Other than the fact that they left, right?
Yeah.
They left where they are at this moment. They'd have to.
Yeah, whatever the vultures did, waiting them out or whatever, I'm assuming destroyed their community. And they want revenge. And because you can definitely tell Strand is driven towards that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they're still communicating with their community, which is why Charlie has the walkie-talkie. And she's staying one step ahead of them, right?
Yeah, but that's in the past.
That was in the past.
Oh, that's true. That's in the past. You're right.
Yeah.
When they go and
yeah, I don't know if their community is around anymore.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I think the way that they're kind of living on the run and all dirty and stuff like that means that, you know, at best, maybe the community's still there, but they can't get to it. But at worst, the community's gone. And I'm leaning more towards the community being gone.
Mm-hmm. Same. I think little Charlie put her little claws into everything and just totally undermined that whole thing they had built up, the network they had built up, and did the evil bidding of Ennis, whatever his name is.
Right.
Yeah, it's got to be Ennis. I mean, the penis. Yeah, that, well, that reminds me of Dukes of Hazzard. There was Ennis, right?
Yes.
And
yes,
Cletus. Sir. Yeah, so, I mean, you can't be Ennis. Ennis, really? It's Ennis.
It's Ennis. We'll go with Ennis. It's Ennis, yeah. But we'll go with Ennis.
If you're in the South, it's Ennis.
Yeah, especially, I mean, Ennis, I mean, it sounds like maybe he's, I don't know, less negative, more intellectual, something like that. Ennis, you know the guy's an idiot.
Yeah, Ennis is working on your car.
Yeah. If your name is Ennis, I am very sorry.
Mm-hmm. And we will, from now on, you know, we will call you Ennis.
Yeah, we'll call you Ennis, for sure. If your name is Ennis, I'm sorry for you for many more reasons.
Exactly. Hey, do you get a free bowl of soup with that name?
I'm sure you had a hard high school.
Oh. Oh, we digress.
Wow, we just lost a listener named Ennis.
But I mean, okay, so when going back to where you say, okay, well, that was in the past. It didn't feel like it was that far in the past to me.
No, and I don't think it is. Okay. I agree with
you. This guy's still going around, and it was El Camino, right?
Yeah.
He's, like, driving around everywhere, and yep. It seemed like these experiences were happening in
the past, though, that Ennis was really surprised to see Nick.
Yeah. But
yeah, that's true. That's true.
When he was unloading that stuff into that storage facility he had going on there, he was shocked to see Nick. So it had been a while.
Madison was there to hold him back when Charlie was there. Mm-hmm. At that original right. confrontation.
Right, right.
So,
and this time Morgan was, until Morgan said, never mind.
I don't know, man. I'm still having a hard time thinking that Madison's dead. I don't know. Or the community's gone. I don't know. I'm not letting go of that yet.
All right.
And I might be completely wrong.
Stuart's windmill.
Well, like I said before, they could just be the scavenger party that's going out to look for stuff, since all of their supplies have been pilfered.
I mean, that's what I felt like it was. That's what they were saying.
They were looking rough, though. I mean, let me tell you something. One of the notes I wrote when I was watching the show is Alicia's makeup when Nick died was fantastic. I mean, the special effects. She looked like hell. I mean,
really?
Oh my God. Go back and watch it. She was incredibly pale and gray. Her lips were all cracked.
That was all lighting. That seemed like it was all lighting.
That was like the yellow filter, I feel like.
No, I go back and look at it. I mean, they did a fantastic job of making her look so stressed out. It kind of reminded me of Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan on the beach scenes. You know, how they did such a great job paling him out and so forth. I think they did an excellent job with that. But my point being, though, is that they're in rough shape.
Yeah,
they're in rough shape. She looks rough.
Strand didn't look like he was in rough shape at all. That guy's always put together.
I don't think Strand ever lets himself look like he's that far along. But definitely,
he's always got his Gucci on.
But definitely, Luciana and Alicia look really rough. So I think they're living off the ground right now.
I wonder how long it's going to take for us to figure all that out.
End of the season.
When the show opens and Althea and all of them start getting into the fight. What the hell? Like, even that scene I thought was not very believable. I mean, do you understand? Like,
when she's in the truck and she's like, well, I'm going to get free. And
yeah, she was being a little bitch, first of
all. Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool where she's like, how many times do you think I've been tied up with zip ties?
Zip ties.
And she gets out of it.
Right.
What is that about?
What do you mean, what is that about?
How often has she been tied up by zip ties and why?
What she's saying
on her own
is she,
all the time.
Yeah, she's saying, this is not my first rodeo. I've been, you know, kidnapped like this before. You think I'm this has not happened to me before?
Yeah, she has full confidence. I mean, she's telling him.
She's a badass.
And showing it. She has full confidence that she'll get her truck back and people don't take her truck from her. So she's pissed. Even if she's not getting out of it, she's just pissed, and she's showing how confident that she's going to win. I mean, you've seen that before many times.
I mean, this is a girl that can take care of herself. I mean, when she was, you know, when Alicia was trying to hook up that van, and Al was up on the hill picking off the walkers with her rifle, she was getting them every time. She knows how to shoot.
She was close to Alicia.
I think at one point Lucy even says that too.
Yeah, she does. She says she knows her shit.
Yep.
But her shit isn't the truth.
Yeah, she said, but she does. Yeah, their shit isn't the truth. But nonetheless, she knows how to take care of herself. And we know Luciana knows how to take care of herself. So they recognize kindred spirits in that. And I thought she reacted how I would expect her to react. I mean, a chick driving around in the countryside by herself in this monster truck with machine guns and stuff like that. I mean, this is no wilting Daisy here.
No, she's set up as like the war correspondent. I mean, like that's like, exactly. That's her background, you know?
Yep.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, she's dealt with some rough situations and she knows how to get out of it, but it doesn't change her focus on what she's trying to get, which is the story, or, you know, where these people are coming from, everybody's story.
And as tough and as badass as she is, and as much as she can get herself out of a situation, she's also willing to allow other people to allow herself to be associated with other people. Because, you know, she knows, but as much as they were all tied them up and stuff like that, it wasn't like they were really just holding him prisoner there. They were going to let him out of there. I mean, she cut their bonds off of there really fast.
Yeah.
I had to think, though, that the they showed when Nick was fighting, which I thought, oh, what a terrible, like, ridiculous thing where he runs into the guy the person driving the truck, and then they wreck and whatever.
Right.
But during that, he knocks the lock off of where she's holding her videotapes.
You're right.
And they make a big point of it.
Yeah.
And then when she finally gets back into her truck, that's like her main focus is, are my tapes all there?
Yeah, her safe.
And nothing's gone. Nothing is gone.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No, she gets it, but it clues you into that there's something particularly powerful for her with those tapes and something about the bog. Personally,
right,
I think
that's
it's
true.
Personally,
true.
I think it's a B movie that she made, and she wants to get it published, but whatever.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You're willing to back that, right, Scott?
I commend her for wanting to save history like that, for understanding that the story is so important to the future of mankind and civilization.
But it's a little selfish of her, too, at the same time.
In what way?
It's a personal thing to her.
Yeah,
you know?
There's something out there. There's something about her motivations that tells us we don't really know entirely what her motivations are.
Yeah, I feel like there's something
she's still
hiding.
Yeah, she's still keeping stuff pretty close to the cuff. And
she's really good at it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess with them making that much of a point of it, you know, the lock gets knocked off, she goes off, she's making sure every freaking tape is there.
Yeah.
You do see the title on one of the cases that's holding some of the tapes. She looks frantic that something is lost.
Right.
So there's something else there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
which
something very important.
Is intriguing.
There. Yeah.
Maybe she's with the guy that is with Jadis that has the helicopter. She's working for them.
Whoa. Wow.
Mind blown.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
It was worth a shot.
Well, I mean, you got to think, knowledge is power. There is no, you know, the radios are limited. There's no TV. There's no news. There's no way of getting information out. So, really, everything that she has on those tapes could be valuable in somebody's hands.
It seems like they're valuable on a personal level with her, though.
Yeah,
the way she freaked
definitely.
Out about it, it was almost like there was a personal issue there.
If you think about it, if you can build together what all these societies are, there's ways that you can utilize them.
I believe, Stuart, that all the tapes there were from whatever this bog is. Because if you look, I saw two of the packages that fell out. One said the bog. The one sheet that they showed real easy to see to the camera said bog 17 to 24 or something like that.
Yeah.
And another one said bog, and it had a couple other numbers on there. So it seems like they were all from that same series.
Like day 17 through 24?
You're really wanting to know what the bog's all about then. Is what
Absolutely.
Okay.
Bog it does walkers. Seem important.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know what it reminds me of, though, is have you listened to NPR in the morning when they, like, the people can go in the box with their loved one and tell a little bit of their life history to that loved one, and then they interview each other? That's what it reminded me of. You've never heard of it? It's like Tiny Box series or something like that. No, that's not it.
No, it's not called Tiny Box series.
I don't remember what it's
called.
At all. Anyways.
Like when you had your NPR thing. When you had your Nick in the box?
Exactly.
Yes.
Nick in a Box series, NPR. Sweaty balls.
My sweaty balls. Would you like to taste my sweaty balls?
My point being that even Beyond the Bog series,
not going anywhere.
I think it's important that she is logging people's stories.
Log in a box.
Oh my God. I'm just going to stop.
I understand what you're saying. No,
it is. And I agree with you totally. I think it's very important. I think it's very cool. Yeah. And I want to see where that goes. And we'll get to see more of that, I'm sure. And John was also really good in this episode. He certainly can get people to talk to him, which is kind of cute. I mean, even when he was talking to Luciana, and they were talking about the fact that Nick always says to Alicia, make sure she comes back when talking about Luciana. And John got her to talk about it. And which I thought was really interesting.
Always there with the Werther's original.
Yeah, exactly. Well, his whole thing was kind of like, well, what did he say? Something to the effect of, well, I'm going to talk like I would talk to myself.
Yeah.
You can answer me if you want. And she did, of course.
He seems like such a sweet man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like the genteel Southern guy who just... He's very nice.
He's got a badass side to him, too. I mean, you know, even when Al was talking about, you know, untying them, John, you know, had his rifle on him. He was kind of like, you sure you want to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
You know, he's not totally trusting.
Which, okay, I think is a lot better than you guys saying that he was a little bit underdeveloped last time.
I still think he's a little bit.
Simple-minded.
No. He's overly polite at points. Yes, he may be a little bit simple in his
worldview
to people, but he's I think he's sharp.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's pretty sharp as to what the situation is.
It's funny, yeah, because I keep forgetting what his focus is, but he even says it when they were talking about getting the van out of the ditch, and he says, well, let's make sure we get this done because we need to get back after Laura. So he's still focused.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah. So he's still focused on going after Laura, whoever she is. So we'll get to find out more what's that going on.
I still think it's a gun.
Could be. The one thing that really, really made me sad was the ending of Nick and Morgan's relationship and how quickly it went. It was so great to have those two characters get together because they're the psychological focal points of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
They both got so much going on in their heads that we've been watching for the last several years that to have them get together, you could almost see a possibly a cheesemaker relationship coming out there.
For sure.
With it going the other way around too, where Nick is able to reach Morgan and get him out of his odd worldview. I just would have liked to have seen that explored longer. I could have watched a good bit of the season with that.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, when that first interaction with them and you know, Nick starts testing him and Morgan's like, yeah, I'm not worried, and takes him down completely and then goes up to the road and says, you stay here, don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But and is obviously very slowed down by his
limb.
Well,
he's like, you get 15 feet from the truck any direction. And he's like, I know.
Yeah. And he goes up because he's going to practice.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, to see if he can.
And
then Nick loses it because he sees the El Camino and just completely abandons Morgan.
And abandons Morgan. Morgan is down there with the walkers. Nick won't throw him the stick,
which is stupid.
Shitty move.
Yeah.
They wouldn't at least help the guy out. I mean, there was like nothing that would not hurt him to pick the thing up and throw it down to him.
I think Nick was just red with rage at that point. He just was not even focusing on stuff.
Well, and he just didn't give a shit. He had no empathy. He didn't give a shit about anybody else. It was like, I'm going to go get this guy. I don't care what it takes. Because you could see he even thought about it. I mean, he looked over towards him and kept walking, you know, And then Morgan shows up, which shows him the exact thing that he didn't do, you know, the thing that he had forgotten to do, which was help someone else.
Right.
because Morgan then saves his ass because he saw the blue flowers.
It's like a carryover of Carl again.
Yeah. Well, it's also a carryover of John. John saving Morgan.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. You know, because he went after him for no reason.
He went after him for no reason, and it got Morgan to stop.
Yep.
And stop running away.
Yeah. The thing that really pissed me off is when the horn started going off, you see the button engage.
Yeah.
Why could he not simply just turn that button off?
Is there no way to disengage that button?
He didn't even look at it. Morgan didn't. He was the one who hit it, and he got up to get out of there. He didn't even look over to see it, so I don't think it was an issue. Because once he got out of there, he was dealing with walkers coming up to it. So
it was definitely an issue after that, because they're like, yeah, well, we got to wait till the battery goes out.
Well, they're saying the walkers are coming out of the woods because they hear the horn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no shit. Go turn the horn off.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, hey, it also got them to be isolated away from everything and have their little pharmacy moment and that conversation, which was actually very interesting, I thought. But I thought that pivotal moment at the end there with around the time when Nick killed Ennis was really, really fascinating to watch. I mean, you could see Morgan was reaching Nick in some respects, and at other times he was losing him. I mean, I thought it was really fantastic when after Nick had killed Ennis and Morgan confronts him after that, and he's trying to show, you know, he tells him about the fact that he had lost his family and friends, and that's why he lost himself. Mm-hmm. But he was trying to explain to Nick that, you know, there's a way from coming back or way to come back from that. And he went, you know, and he gave Nick the book. And I loved Nick's face. He just kind of went, too late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And but Morgan came right back and was like, it's never too late, because Morgan went through hell and back.
Right. Yeah. And then he started reaching him. You could see he really started reaching him. And I thought it was actually really neat to see they showed that one image of Morgan standing next to the vehicle, and you can hear the monster truck driving into the area there. And you see Nick in the background actually reading the book, walking mm-hmm. around reading the book and so forth. So you could really see that Nick was actually considering what Morgan was saying. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that didn't last very long.
But we get quite the change between last episode and this one. Nick not wanting to come out, and then Nick's coming out, and then he's going through this whole thing, which, like you said, well, maybe there was something drastic that happened to him, which was Maddie, you know, being killed off, possibly. But he goes through a major change and then is dead.
Right. And how do you think this is going to affect Morgan? I mean, here's Morgan, who's feeling like he wanted to reach out to this kid and make a difference. He made a conscious effort for this thing, and it's yet another case of him losing somebody.
Well, you could see it in his face when it actually happened, and when everybody was mourning over his body.
Mm-hmm.
His face was really contorted, and it's kind of like the kid, Henry.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to help this kid, and it backfired on him. And so I think Morgan is going to... And this is not the only time, but I think Morgan is going to kind of revert again into crazy Morgan.
Go back into his shell.
Yeah, when he took the staff and threw it on the ground and said, screw this shit, I quit.
Uh-huh.
I was like, wow, yeah, that's very telling. He's pissed. Yeah, he's frustrated.
That's an angry man.
Yeah.
Where's my turkey pie pie, bitch?
No, it's very true, though. I mean, like... that's the whole thing behind Morgan coming into this series is and leaving the last, is that everybody he goes near is somehow dies. You know, everybody goes, he does not die. He doesn't die. Everybody else dies. Anytime he tries to get close to anybody, they die.
Right. And here's another instance where he's trying to avoid these people as much as he can.
I hope it doesn't get
there. And he finally reaches out a little bit towards someone, and it turns out to be Nick, and then he gets killed.
I hope it doesn't go to that.
Yeah, because, see, that's the thing I wanted, that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see more of Morgan coming out because of Nick and see that going forward. That's the Morgan I like, that guy. The one who's a little bit, who's more part of a community.
Mm-hmm.
Not the turtle that's out there in the brush by himself.
The turtle. I think John is kind of taking that place as well. Not to the same extent that Nick would have, but I think John is also kind of a lost soul that doesn't need help, doesn't need repairing, but he needs a companion. Mm-hmm. And I think Morgan is going to become that guy for him. I think he already has. I think the two of them are going to become what, like, Morgan and Rick were at the beginning.
Unless he rejects John because of what happened with Nick. You know, if he closes, he's gonna lose him. Well, he just closes up to everybody else again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I actually see that happening, but I think John's going to win him over again.
Because he's got candy.
Because of the candy.
He's got candy. But John has been alone for the past year. From what it sounds like.
Right.
And he never lost his sanity. So how did he not lose his sanity?
I think he may have lost his sanity a little bit. He likes to talk to himself.
Fuck, I would too.
I don't really want to talk
to myself all the time.
That's why we started the podcast.
Stuart's amazed expression just says it all.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, we'll give you a microphone to talk to, Kim. Otherwise,
I'm an only
people
child.
Are thinking you're weird.
I grew up by myself. I had to entertain myself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's another thing I don't want to know
about. Well, I'm not going into that one. Not digging that one up.
No. Step away. Step away from there's nothing to see here.
Okay.
I think on that note, it's time to take a break. We'll be back in a minute. All right, everybody, we're back, and we're going to hit with hit or miss. Stu, want to take us out? What's your hit?
My hit is Nick killing Enos. Enos, whatever you want to call him. I'm calling him Enos.
Let's call him Enos.
The fact that he finally killed that guy, because he bothered the hell out of me.
Yeah.
The time that he did not do anything to him when Maddie and him got trumped, and he was out there stacking up everything from the house that they were going to.
Yeah, and he's bragging about the powdered milk they got and stuff like that.
Yeah, just rubbing it in his face. He's eating whatever the hell, cherries or something out of a jar right in front of his face. He's like, ah.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
yeah.
I guess you need to get a fast ride like we got. Oh, man. That guy, he bothered me.
He had amazing confidence.
Yes, he did.
If you think about it, I mean, he's facing
jacket.
With two people. Yeah, he's facing two people and... he just didn't seem to be too intimidated by that fact. By the way, did you notice that sparkly jacket show up again later?
Yeah,
on the girl.
The little shithead.
Yeah.
Yep. And it was also the jacket he was wearing when he was the one that led the walkers into the back of the truck. Yeah,
yes,
he was riding
his
bike
bicycle
around.
Ride. Yep. He was the clown. He was the clown prince.
Yeah, so... I mean, it was definitely my hit, and then that was pretty much the thing that set Nick up to die. So,
all right, Kim, what about your hit?
Mine is just the relationship between Morgan and Nick. I was happy to explore that a little bit more and to dive deeper into the correlations between the two characters, and I really felt like they were kind of kindred spirits in a way. So the hit is kind of bittersweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I agree. My hit is the same, Kim, about that. You know, I just really, really was thinking how great that relationship was going to be between those two guys. And then, bam, it's gone. It's over.
Yeah.
I do have one honorable mention, though.
Okay.
Again... they've done a really, really nice job with camera angles and so forth in this show. The one we saw it on the ad a million times, but the image of that truck going off the road was right. fantastic when it plowed into the walkers and went down the hill. That was really cool. And also, I thought a neat shot was when after Morgan and Nick had their fight in the van, and Morgan's looking out of the van, it's at that weird angle, and you see just this one walker coming towards him.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow, that was a really cool scene.
That was cool.
And back to a thing that you had brought up in one of the previous episodes where they keep changing the opening scene.
Yeah.
The opening scene to this one was the blue flowers.
Yes, yeah. The bluebells. Like, exactly.
Yep. So. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're doing a really cool job with that. It's nice work. Stu, how about your miss?
My miss is that they did not chase down Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
That killed me. I was like, come on, go get her.
Yeah, but don't you think they were more concerned about what was happening with Nick than they were with chasing down Charlie?
Oh, of course. Someone, I mean, freaking Strand could have go chase after her. Somebody, well, they had enough people. They had enough people taking care of Nick at that time. Yes, right. They're all distraught, but the girl just shot Nick. So,
well, the thing to remember, though, is that she's a little girl, and now she's off on her own.
Mm-hmm.
Because her caretaker is now gone.
Yeah, but we don't know if their community's still around there, though.
Well, I'm sure they are, but they're not that close. So I think that
there's going to be more with that girl.
They're probably going to find her.
Yeah, there's going to be more with that girl.
You know, actually, Kim, I wonder if they are pretty close. The only reason I say that is that was their storage facility for a lot of the stuff that they've stolen.
Mm-hmm.
You don't usually tend to get too far away from where your stuff is.
Yeah, but you also tend to stash it in different locations.
Well, that's true.
So that people can't find you.
Who knows? Who knows? Kim, your miss?
Yeah, I mean, besides the fact that now the relationship between Morgan and Nick is kaput and we won't be able to see that happen and to flourish the way I was hoping it would, I really don't have a miss. I think that the walkers were pretty awesome in this episode and I think the storyline was solid, so I don't really have a miss.
Yeah, my miss is actually a lot like what we've already said. I mean, I really feel like it's a shame not to see Nick and Morgan playing off of each other more. I think those could have been some really fun scenes to watch and so forth. But but you know, we've already gone over that a good bit. I do think that the episode was great, and I do think that it was interesting that there wasn't necessarily a whole lot of action in this episode, but it didn't seem to linger too much.
No.
It seemed to move along at a really good pace, so that was nice.
No, it did. It did.
So what else got a burr up your butt, Stu?
Oh, many a thing got a burr up my butt. No, the my other miss was finding out that the reason behind the fact that Nick is going is that he wanted to leave the show.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, that kills it for me, that the story was driven by the fact that the character just wanted, or that the actor just wanted to leave the show.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I gotta say to Frank Delane, I don't know, maybe he's getting his head a little bit bigger than it should be, because, you know, you did 3 seasons on a television show.
Yeah.
I don't think you're gonna be swimming in movie roles. And in an interview I read, he doesn't even have anything next. He's just kind of gonna take some time
exploring.
Off. Yeah, whatever.
Well, I've always thought that he was a bit big in the britches for this show.
Yeah.
Because he's never been to any of the fan conventions. He's never been on The Talking Dead. He's just kind of distanced himself away from the entire thing, mm-hmm. as if this was something he had to do. This show was something he had to do.
Right.
But he didn't want to get too involved, you know.
Yeah, and it sounds like he wasn't always thrilled with some of the choices they made with his character either. Maybe he didn't have as much creative control over the character as he wanted to.
Which is fine. I mean, there's actors. I mean, on a personal level, that's fine. If you don't want to get involved with all that stuff, that's okay. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's been a great actor. He's been a great character in the show. But the fact that they have to kill him off, the whole storyline is driven by the fact that he just wants to leave the show, I think is a really weak way to kill the character off. I mean, what are you going to do? The guy wants to leave, so, I mean, there's really no choice. You got to get rid of it. But it's just, to me, that sucks. That's the way it had to happen.
Yeah.
Especially after you do get such a great build-up in this episode. Which, really, the build-up was made so that it could shock you at the end.
Right.
You
know, right. Without like, a doubt. Yeah. I mean, you know, I got to say, I was shocked he died. I was not in any way expecting that. And I kept thinking, even after he got shot, that he was going to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I kept thinking it was a dream scene.
Or we'll get the car right here, we're going to haul him off somewhere, and Sadiq from The Walking Dead was going to show up all of a sudden. Exactly. He'd been following Morgan the entire time. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
With no medical bag at all.
No medical bag. Somehow he's got like a pen and stabs in his neck, and he's like, see you all later.
Going to use a bobby pin and some tape, and he's going to get them all fixed up. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, when he finally died, I was kind of like, oh shit, he actually did die.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, which again is why when we talk at the starting of the episode that Maddie's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Could they do that to you?
They could.
Yeah.
They could.
They totally could.
They're definitely taking it in a completely different direction. And, you know, and that's the other thing, too, in some of the interviews I read with Frank Delane, is it does sound like he was not happy about the new showrunners coming on. Don't get me wrong. He was very complimentary of them.
Mm-hmm.
But he may not have been real thrilled with the direction the show was going on, and that just gave him an excuse to jump ship.
If that's the case, then he deserves to get off the show.
Ooh, sour grapes.
No, I mean, season one and season two were not very stellar at all.
But, yeah, I mean,
he's very proud of season one.
I know he is.
If you put as much as you did and with the rest of the cast, and you think you've created what you've created and are proud of it, to have someone come in and all of a sudden start wiping the slate clean, I would think would be, yeah, well, what did we do?
Mm-hmm.
I'd take offense at that as well. I mean, it might not be the greatest thing in the world, but you can't just come in and like completely change the entire landscape.
Yeah, and I think I think you know, I mean, I'm of course reading between the lines, but it almost, you know, the way he brings up about bringing Lenny James onto the show, I'm almost wondering if he's thinking, why do we need to have a Walking Dead person on our show?
Mm-hmm. Now I could see that, because that is kind of like that's kind of like being in a friendship group and somebody says, oh, we're going to bring blah, blah, blah in because they're super popular and we don't need you in the group anymore. I'd be like, screw you, asshole.
The hell is a friendship group?
I was going to say, I don't have any friendship groups.
Elementary school. Like,
oh,
think back.
Oh, maybe great.
It's a girl thing.
Just what I need. Yeah. More friends.
I think that's a girl thing. I think that's a girl thing. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We couldn't give a shit. Anyway, so, hey, Kim, I bet you we have a lot of listener comments.
We have a ton, and I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you to all the listeners, because we are getting so many comments lately. It's pretty amazing. You guys are definitely dialed in. So, @cutepoison10 said, I love this episode. It was very emotional at the end. Love the truck and the new cast members.
Fan Mom said, I'm still processing. Devastating episode with a breaking heart.
Mama Sarah said, love the episode. Bawled my eyes out at the end.
Not with you there.
Not Kim. Cold-hearted bitch.
Seriously. I was going to use that clip at the start of this, our podcast, and which we may still, so don't hold me against that, but I was going to replace it.
Okay.
But I was listening to it again, and I was like, oh, man, that's an awful scene. Because it was so extended when he's dying.
Yeah.
You hear him gasping, and she is screaming, crying the entire time.
I mean, yeah, it was sad, but I'm not torn up about it.
Well, you've fallen apart over the smallest shit on some of these shows.
Seriously.
And this one, the main character gets killed, and you're just kind of like, well, you know, hey, it happens. He stubbed his toe. He got shot in there. We'll see what happens next week.
His hair is still not clean.
It isn't. And now it's bloody.
And now it's bloody. We want a clean Frank.
All right. Cash Cooper, our friend Cash, said, I continue to hate the kids of The Walking Dead, except Carl, of course. Sad about the loss, but it's good to be reminded that lives are at stake. Also wondering where Madison is.
Yep, I think we all are. Seth Tillman said, #holy shit,
Never saw that coming. Hate that hashtag Frank Delane wanted to leave, but it was a great send-off, and I still can't figure out what's going on with hashtag Madison. Dead? Where is she? Great season so far.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are asking about Madison. You guys, yep. I think you guys are on.
They're all
one
over
point
it.
On that one a little bit more than I am. Here we go. off of Twitter said, "Bonjour, it's tricky but good. I like a good book. Amazing for sure.
Nice.
That must be our French friend.
Yes.
Mark Lavarnway said, I applaud the bossy move made in this episode. This season is badass. I think it's mainly because of Texas, though. So Morgan was a cheesemaker this time, was steering Nick down the path with reading The Art of Peace. This is going to mess with Morgan big time. Another failure, I'm sure, will be his viewpoint.
Emmeline Veltkamp said, what the heck? Why would they do that? The only character that's been enjoyable all four seasons. How dare they do us like that? The vultures might be villains, but their El Camino makes me drool. I agree. Yeah. That El Camino is pretty badass.
Pam Moore said, OMG, shocker.
Joe Johnson said, Charlie needs to die. Hashtag snake.
I agree. Totally.
Yeah, we'll see what's going to happen with that one.
She's a worm.
I mean, yes, it's a little girl, but come on. She's done them wrong three times so far.
Yep.
Three strikes
yep.
are out.
She's dead. That scene when she comes walking out with the radio in her hand. I was just like, oh, that's just too snide.
Yeah. That was wrong. That was very wrong.
Paige Vaughn said, so sad to see Nick go. I didn't see that coming at all. I know Frank wanted out, but I'm bummed because I think Nick was one of the more interesting characters. And I like the parallel they were making between Morgan and him. I'm 95% convinced Madison is dead in the present time. Especially based on Alicia's reaction to losing Nick. I'm loving John's character more and more each episode, and I'm curious to see where the group goes from here.
Yep, I agree. I think Paige is on point on all those. Kim, do we have any news?
There was an interview with Frank Delane about his character leaving the show, and Scott, you kind of pointed out the fact that he wanted to go on and search for other opportunities and things like that, but there's also the fact that he was just homesick, apparently.
Yeah, that was one thing he says, right?
Yeah, he misses Europe.
He misses Europe.
I know. Mm. So okay. sad. So he mm-hmm. every time he came over here, he was like, boo-hoo.
He's not going to miss Europe when he goes back over there and he's not drawing a paycheck anymore.
Well, he might come. Something might happen since he's been on the show.
The only thing I saw him on is he was on some Chris Hemsworth movie about Thor? Sea captains from like the 1800s or something. He played like the houseboy.
No way. That was before this though, right?
I think it was just maybe like a year or two ago.
Oh, well, that was probably still filmed right at the beginning of this series.
Whatever.
but the reporter asked about the timing of his departure. And he said because Morgan was coming over from The Walking Dead, and because they were doing the showrunner switch up, that he thought it was a good time for him to bow out, basically, and move on. So, I mean, I guess he'd been thinking about it for a while.
Sounds like it.
And he said he didn't have any new ideas for Nick and couldn't think of really any new storylines for him either.
There was so much to do that Nick could be doing going forward with Morgan. I mean, the development of that character.
Well, I don't think he gave it enough time to think about what could have happened with Morgan.
I just think he used that as an excuse.
I think he is starring in the new Pirates of the Caribbean,
number 15?
Yeah, something like that. So I think, yeah, he's going to be starring in that. He's got that coming up.
Does he?
Yeah.
Right.
And so they also asked him if we would see any more of him since they're doing the past and the present. Yes. Mm-hmm. Storyline, and he confirmed that yes, we will be seeing him mm-hmm. again.
Fill in any other Johnny Depp joke you might have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Is he going to start selling cologne by digging holes in the desert now?
Ooh, I don't want to even touch that one.
Someone will get that reference.
Okay. From The Walking Dead, Pollyanna McIntosh, who plays Jadis, has a new movie coming out that's getting ready to appear at the Cannes Film Festival. And you, Scott, might have heard of this book, but it's called Darlin'.
Darlin'.
And it was written with Jack Ketchum.
I know Jack Ketchum. He just died, actually.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, just a month ago.
Oh, wow. Well, he's the executive producer of this movie.
He was the executive
producer. He was. Yeah, and he wrote a novel about this story.
Darlin'.
And then they turned it into a movie.
Oh, very cool.
I'm guessing it's Southern.
I don't know.
He had one story, I think, called The Girl Next Door. Maybe that's...
The Girl Next Door?
Mm-hmm.
As in the one about the little girl who became a zombie?
There's like 15 books called The Girl Next Door.
Yeah. Okay. It's a pretty common title.
This one is based off the story The Woman. Do you know that one?
Oh, The Woman. Yeah. I do know that.
Okay.
I actually got a signed edition of that book.
Okay, well, this is the sequel to that.
Okay.
Apparently.
Makes sense.
So she's directing it, but she's also starring in it. She was in the original movie, and so she's reprising her role in this one. And it's supposed to be super awesome, but it's about a little girl who's found at a Catholic hospital. She's a teenager when she's found at this hospital, and she's like very disheveled and dirty and kind of a wild feral child, and she's sent off to a rehab center to be cleansed, I guess you could say. But there's someone else who has been helping her along the way, and this story is about that secret life.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
it's about women's empowerment and revenge. That's where that comes. I know that's what Woman was about, and goes on from there.
Yeah, so it sounds pretty cool. I'm excited about that. And
as long as it's not anything to do with like that other movie where the girl's found in the woods in West Virginia. You know what I'm talking
about?
No, not the piano. The one, the woman, the actress from the Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah, I know. What
Jodie Foster?
Yeah. Chickapee.
Jesus Christ.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I still want to end this conversation now.
Chickadee-dee.
You're an idiot. You are an idiot.
She has her own language.
Yeah, she does.
Okay.
The last little bit of news is that filming started this week on season 9 of The Walking Dead. And they have already released some pictures from the set. And it looks like Greg Nicotero is once again filming the premiere. But for people of comic book fans, I guess. So this is a bit spoilery, not too much really, but if you don't want to hear it, don't. But there in the background, there is a water tower at Hilltop in the picture.
Yes.
And so that indicates that there should probably be a little bit of a time jump.
Okay.
Oh, you'd think that guy's like building stuff that went from the book that they were given?
Yes.
I think so.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Oh, interesting.
So, some people are speculating that maybe they're not going to time jump as much as they do in the comic so that they can keep the storylines kind of close to where Fear is in case Morgan needs to come back or somebody else crosses over or whatever.
Or maybe they'll have total war between the two shows.
Oh, stop. Oh,
right. Yeah. That'd be sweet. So how much did they time jump a lot in the comic?
Yes, by several years.
Oh, really? Okay.
Next week on Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4, Episode 4, Buried. Al's questioning uncovers some surprising truths about the group's past. John Dory receives unexpected news.
Ooh, we found Laura.
Maybe. Maybe she's in the bog.
Oh. Well, wouldn't it be cool if they're watching these videos and all of a sudden, hey, there's Laura.
Yeah, they're having a movie night.
Yep.
Let's see what happened in the bog.
Okay, so if you guys have any comments or if you want to send in a little thing about what you're drinking while you're listening to our podcast, if it's the middle of the day, please don't drink and drive. If it's at night, don't drink and drive.
I'm not going to tell you what to do.
I mean, a lot of people listen to our shows while they're coming home from work.
While they're drinking and driving?
While they're drinking and driving. Don't do that. But if you want to have us actually play your voice on the podcast, there is a recording feature on your phone. If you have a smartphone, just record it on that, and then you can email the clip to us. And then we can put it right into the podcast. That would be easy.
And if you're drinking while using power equipment or any heavy machinery, tell us what you're using.
And how it turned out.
Yeah.
What the project looked like when you were finished.
Yeah.
Or what limbs you lost.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
We want to make sure everybody's okay. Everybody's okay.
Seriously. Yeah.
Everybody's okay.
And entertained.
Yeah. Yes.
Nice.
So you can send all of that to us at fearmepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at fearmepodcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/fearmepodcast. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, it's chickadee.
Chickadee-dee-dee. 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 You guys are idiots. I swear.